breaking sports news breaks, we'll break in. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Deal.
Hey, Corby.
It is 5:16. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Hard Line. Petty theft is in action this weekend. Saturday night at the Moon Bar in crazy Fort Worth. Come see us at the Moon Bar. I believe we're looking at a 9:30 or 10 o'clock downbeat that night. It's just us, nobody else. Three sets. The Moon Bar is located on Berry, a little bit to the east of University. It's a fun place. Occasionally, we will get back into the What's the Deal With series, where we take a close look and rate and debate the credentials of somebody. Can be an actor, an actress, can be a band, a singer, songwriter, can just even be the basic human credentials of an individual if we want to. And we are back into that today, wondering, what's the deal with Bob Marley?
Thank you.
What is the deal with Bob Marley?
Snake.
I think we should defer to you two first, because you guys grew up in that generation in the 70s when obviously he was around and somewhat relevant.
Yeah, but he
wasn't that smart.
He wasn't popular until he died in America.
Yeah,
or
but
until
he was
Eric
around.
Clapton broke.
Well, that was in 75. When Clapton covered I Shot the Sheriff in 75, people around these parts, stateside, took notice of the guy. But
is
I don't know.
Is that true?
Basically.
Okay.
But then I know he had a couple of tours through America, and I know he played Madison Square Garden because it's in this article that we all read. But, I mean, was he big?
Well, reggae music was not totally unheard. There were some lightweight reggae hits prior to I Shot the Sheriff, but not many. And it sounded very strange on American radio. It sounded very different, and nobody really thought that much of it. Everybody just kind of glossed over it. But later on, once everybody caught on to Bob Marley and exactly what reggae was, we went back and realized what guys like Johnny Nash were doing.
Like, did he even...
Not a blip.
Was he a blip on the radar for you?
No. I mean, I heard the name, but, you know, I heard his song. And I remember I was on the radio one time. It might have been K-News or whatever. And they played the Eric Clapton version.
Mm-hmm.
Then they played the Bob Marley version back to back. And I'm like, well, that blows. Good God.
Because I think people that, like my age, in their 30s, depending on where you go to college and what takes place in college, he becomes a factor.
You mean what sort of substances you might be exposed to in college?
I was thinking more of what classes you took in college, but sure.
Of course.
But he was definitely a player, and that's kind of where I think most people get introduced to him that are in their 30s and early 40s and 20s now, obviously.
Well, I know I used to bartend with a guy, excuse me, and he kind of prided himself and really whipped everybody's ass by being on the cutting edge of music. He was always playing this sucky stuff. And he got into reggae. And he'd play it in the clubs after hours. And I thought it, and this was probably in 83, somewhere around there. And that was right after Bob Marley died. And would be cleaning up and he'd start whipping everybody's ass about how Bob Marley was the greatest musician who ever lived.
And I will tell you this. There are few things in this world that just thrash me down more than the Americano who is all about reggae, especially the Americano girl.
Play a song.
What do you want to hear?
Now, we have Legend. This is his greatest hits package. It was released a couple years after he died. Play Is This Love. And I still say, I own this album. It's the only Bob Marley album I own. I think it's really pretty music.
It's amazing music.
And he's a hell of a songwriter. And when you realize what he went through, that he's not just some pothead with a guitar.
Or was he?
No, you know. I wanna
love you. And his band was damn good, too.
Hell yeah. I wanna
love you. And those three singers, I think one of them was his wife, right? The background singers?
Well,
yep.
His band consisted of, it was Bob Marley and the Wailers, and the Wailers were Peter Tosh and Bunny Wailer, Bunny Livingston. And those guys, you know, Bunny Wailer and Peter Tosh are like 1A, 1B, and or 1B and 1C, whatever, after Marley as far as, like, importance in reggae after he died. I mean, those guys were, Peter Tosh was huge, and they left the band in 72, and then that's when the, or 73, and that's when the three, the I-3s came
I-3s,
in, and that was his wife.
Right.
That was his wife and a couple other chicks singing. But you don't find this appealing in any way?
It's okay.
Do you not like the offbeat? Is that your problem with this music?
Hey, I'm an Americano. I like the snare on 2 and 4, the bass drum on 1 and 3.
All right, I don't know what that means.
This is all in the and. It's when it, instead of like 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like 1, 1, 1, 2, and it's on the and. That's where the accent is. That's what makes this music identifiable.
Well, the cool part about this music, which I had no clue. I mean, I've read some stuff on Bob Marley and seen some documentaries and stuff on the History Channel, but
I think one of the reasons I don't like him is all those years I went to Jamaica. That you just get your ass whipped
you
by him.
You do
there.
Get your ass whipped.
I mean, every,
in Jamaica.
I mean, you know, you go there. The only thing you can buy when you go to Jamaica is a figurine of a dolphin jumping out, a Bob Marley T-shirt, or pot. That's the only thing for sale on that
you know
island.
What, you're right. You're
I think
right.
I bought all three at my
yeah.
wedding.
What's wrong with that?
But everything is Bob
what
Marley.
A great moment
every,
for your wife. That
everything.
Must have been.
Yeah, it is. Well, you have to understand. You know how,
you know,
like,
you can buy a black velvet of his head with his big giant snake dreadlocks.
You know how Elvis is the king of rock and roll? Multiply that times a billion, and that's what Bob Marley is to Jamaican music.
Don't really think that you really need to compare him with Elvis.
To Jamaica?
To Jamaica,
Grego?
To Jamaica.
What the hell else does Jamaica have
yes,
to hang on
he
to?
Is,
pot.
He is so much bigger
ganja.
Than Elvis was.
A big old bag for
he is.
Okay, well, then let's don't compare Jamaica to these United States, huh?
Right.
Well, why not? It's a country. I'm just, you don't have to say, well, we're
it's
better,
an island
we're
in the Caribbean.
Than
because
we're,
it's a
we'll
God,
kick Jamaica's ass. Well,
because
yeah, we
it's
would.
It's a godforsaken, stinky country.
Well, this music
and the only
though,
Caribbean the, island with no toilets. And the only people that go there are poor people like me when I didn't have any money. And that's
correct.
Where I had to go because I could go there for a week for $199 and have all I could eat and all I could drink at Jack Tar Village.
Well, Danny and I both honeymooned there.
I love you.
Not together.
Oh.
Don't touch me. But this music, I didn't realize this until I read this article in Rolling Stone. By the way, it's on the cover.
Play another song.
All right. What do you want to hear?
Play Three Little Birds.
Play Stranglehold.
Stranglehold.
Three Birds.
All right.
This music is hip-hop music.
Yeah, he created a subculture.
There is no question. I mean, you think about what hip-hop culture is now.
And they had the killing, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't promoting the killing.
Wasn't he?
No.
No, he wasn't.
His music was about failure.
His music was about peace.
No, it was about failure.
It was about the reality of what was going on.
It was getting
country.
Out from under the thumb of, a,
of an opponent.
Yeah, but he wasn't promoting violence.
No,
I mean, now he would talk about the violence, but he wasn't promoting it like a lot of hip-hop
and
people.
I think that reggae is a little more principled than hip-hop is.
Well, yeah, it is. But it create, like Grego said, it created a certain culture.
Yeah, it was about failure. It was about failure in life, failure of peace, failure of humans.
I think it's really pretty, though.
I mean, like it said in that article, you know, he didn't really want to escape that trench town. He wanted to stay there, where he could write about ghetto life.
Well, he kept it real.
Boy, did he.
Yeah, until they shot him up and he left the country and never came back. Until they toted him back in a box.
He had to come back.
People don't realize probably that, you know, he was a Rastafarian, and that's a religion.
I never knew that till I read the... Did you know that, Ryan? The Rastafarian, that's a religion. I thought it was just a bunch of potheads.
Well, it basically is.
Snake. Pot is
they hide behind God and smoke pot.
No, they don't.
Well, you know.
Well, there's more money in pot than God.
Thank you.
We know Jesus.
Yeah? But it does raise the question of what's the difference between them and him.
Right.
It's true.
Tell Jesus smoked pot.
Like a cigar.
Also, the Rastafarians, they were the hippies.
Yes. And when they...
I mean, I'm saying they were the exact same thing that the hippies were at the exact same time.
Yeah.
They were the hippies of Jamaica.
Complete with the long hair.
Got on there?
Lots of stuff.
Play whatever you want.
And, you know, much like hip-hop, when hip-hop first cranked up,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't played on radio, and neither was reggae.
Right.
Even in Jamaica. They said even in Kingston, in the big radio stations, nobody played it.
See if you agree with this, Michael. Like the milestone albums of the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, Marvin Gaye, and Sly and the Family Stone.
This sounds like Ace of Base.
The Marley records that created new sonics ground and changed how we would hear music. They were also albums that announced Marley as a preeminent musical figure. Though his music during this time didn't sell millions, he was quickly seen to possess a creative brilliance and fearless integrity. In short, Marley became a considerable and widely recognized force. And numerous artists in the 70s, from Paul McCartney to Stevie Wonder to Elvis Costello and the Police, would reflect his influence by following through on some of the possibilities that his music was creating.
I agree with some of that. Some of it's a little bit overblown. But there's quite a bit in that statement that I would embrace. You know who else was a big reggae sympathizer? A huge reggae sympathizer to the point of that being all that he ever listened to?
Jimmy Carter?
In the 70s and 80s?
Jimmy Carter.
Well, no, actually, I was thinking more of Gerald Ford. Keith Richards.
Is that right?
Yes.
You know what? If you listen to Bridges to Babylon.
Babylon. Huh? Well, Georgie was here.
There's a Keith Richards song on there that's a reggae song.
Yeah.
That is great, that they played live, actually, when the Stones came through here. And it's one of the best songs on that record.
Well, look, I can appreciate any muse when it's well done, and this is very well done.
The Marley stuff?
Yes. This is, without a doubt, the best of kind. And there are quite a few songs that he has that I like okay, like that first one that we played.
Is This Love?
Yeah, and probably one of, I don't know, three, four, five others that I would recognize. But for the most part, I get so beaten down by the Americano reggae fan that I've just turned away from it.
See, I've never known someone who was just like whole hog into him. Like, that's it. It's Marley or
See,
Bust.
See, I have.
Like, you know how people are just into the Grateful Dead and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
I've never met anyone like that, like, just into...
Is this Past the Dutchie?
No, this is One Love. This is
okay, I like
love this song.
Yeah,
this
I do too.
Is great. This is Past the Dutchie.
Wasn't this on some kind of commercial?
I'm trying to get Grego to recognize Past the Dutchie.
Grego?
Huh?
It sounds familiar. It sounds like it was a commercial for like a resort or something.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
this was used as a commercial.
Right. Yeah.
A cruise ship or something. Or a resort or...
I've heard the song
some such.
Yeah. I've heard the song a million times.
So good.
Every song, though, from him is about getting out of those poor towns in Jamaica.
But yet he didn't want to get out.
Well, he was wanting to keep it real.
He wanted to keep a connection with the people there. He didn't want to leave them behind. He knew that they were poor
you can't
and struggling.
Do that. Make your money and get the hell out.
Well, problem was, he got so involved in the Politico scene down there, which was just really tumultuous at the time.
Was it like South Africa, where it was a lot of black people being governed and ruled by whites?
White people.
Right.
Yeah.
Until 1962. That's when Jamaica, that's when...
But they still had white rulers. They still had white rulers.
They remained.
Well, until they had that election where he refused to take a side. That's when he got shot up.
Right.
They thought he was on board with that, what's his name, Michael Mamula?
Michael Manley.
Paula Kahumbu.
Right. Yeah, the former defensive end for the Eagles. He went down to Jamaica and ran for office.
What the hell?
And that's when they shot him up.
Yeah, so they
shot his wife in the head and she lived.
She lived. They shot him. He got grazed. And that's when he got the hell out of Jamaica. He left. And it was never his home again.
Hey, Corby.
Yes.
In that Rolling Stone article, do they get into what a major philanderer he was?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he cheated on his wife. I mean,
he didn't really cheat on her, though.
What did
she do about it?
Yeah, it was kind of open.
They practiced the theory of inclusion.
Yeah, only she wasn't included on that front. Only she wasn't included.
Right. She cranked out a couple of kids for him. But, yeah, he was dating, like, Miss World at one time.
Yeah, and a lot of women cranked out a lot of kids.
Yeah, he had, like, seven illegitimate children,
one of them,
I believe.
One of them was a little bitty runt linebacker that played for Miami.
Miami, Rohan.
Rohan.
And then Rohan Mrs. World.
Wow.
She was the white prize.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Big deal. Brian Jones had three illegitimate kids before he was 20. When somebody can top that, call me.
The weird part about it was how he died.
Hey, yeah, I was about to say, Sean Kemp's on the phone for you, man.
In 1975, I mean, during his heyday, he was a huge soccer player. And he was playing in a soccer match, and he hurt his toe.
Give us No Woman, No Cry. You got that over there?
Yeah, we got it. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, man, you need to take care of this and not and stop touring. He was like, no, can't do it.
No, man.
Toenail tore off and the laceration wouldn't heal. And then a doctor told him, look, this could get cancerous really quick. Unless, you know, we may have to amputate your toe. And his response was, Rasta no abide amputation.
Huh.
And so eventually the toe got cancer and the cancer spread all the way up through his entire body till it got to his brain.
Yep.
I mean, he had kidney, liver, lung, brain.
But they never really explained that. Is that what caused it?
Yeah.
Or was it pot?
No, it wasn't pot.
I don't know that.
That
wasn't explained in that article, Corby. That
the malignant cells just spread all through his body. It started in his foot.
And he wouldn't go to the doctor because he knew he had cancer. He knew he had cancer.
And he wouldn't go.
But they don't really say in there that if he'd have got the toe amputated, then he'd have been okay. Those cells may have been in his body anyway.
Could have been. Could have been. But that's what they speculate that.
But it sounds like he was in bad shape. I mean, when they diagnosed him with all that, they said, you got 10 weeks.
Yeah, and
he ended up living eight more months.
Eight months, yeah.
And
he was a pretty resilient guy. I mean, after he got shot up over that Politico disaster, he ended up playing a gig two nights later with a bullet that went through his arm.
Showing it off, saying, you know, you can't touch me, basically. But he played up and right before he died.
That
show in Pittsburgh. And he was a couple days away from death playing that show, getting up there. And
can you think of a more non-appropriate place for a reggae guy to play than Pittsburgh? All those steel workers drinking iron.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how big. Did he come to Dallas, you think?
You know, I don't remember. I paid so little attention to him and to his scene back then that I don't remember if he did or not.
But don't you think he probably would have caught buzz of that he blew through here at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I would have caught buzz of it, but it might have just gone, you know, in one ear and out the other.
And there really wasn't a lot of places for a guy like that to play around here, was there? Because he'd have probably played a club, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he might have. Or, I don't know, he might have played somebody somewhere like the Electric Ballroom back in the day, or the Agora, or somewhere
Longhorn.
Like that. Yeah, somewhere like that.
Or Matley's.
By the way, this is the last song he ever played live right before he died. They said he was sitting up there completely emaciated and could barely even move, and he just got up there with his acoustic and played this song. He's extremely relevant. You can't discount him as just being, like I said, a pothead with a guitar.
To his people in that country, he's more relevant than John Lennon and Elvis put together.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like a god to them.
I mean, you got to go visit the hillbilly country to buy a carved Elvis figurine. You can go anywhere and get one of those in Jamaica. Anywhere.
And don't you think his voice is cool?
Well, like I said a minute ago, he's about the best that I've heard at doing what he did.
Redemption. Oh my.
Oh my God.
Oh my God is right. So there it is. What's the deal with Bob Marley? All right, coming up next, let's do something other than what we have planned, because what we have planned needs a little more time.
No Cowboys, so let's stay Cowboys for 5:50,
okay.
And then we'll do like hippo talk or something.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. How long
shall they... The ticket.